The book of Jude is one of the four books in our New Testament that has only one chapter. And over the years, I have preached lessons on the one-chapter books of the Bible. Jude is one of those. It's a short book, not very much studied, I fear, by our people. Jude was the half-brother of our Lord, we believe. And he wrote this little short epistle to folks who were Jewish Christians, we believe, in Syria. He said, "I wanted to write and to rejoice with you about the common salvation that we enjoy in Christ. But there was something more urgent that I needed to tell you and to write to you about." And so he gives some very stern warnings about certain people, men, who had crept into the congregations to which he was writing. He said, "You need to be aware that these men are evil, that they are doing things that are immoral, they are dividing you, they are causing all kinds of trouble in your congregations. You need to be aware of it, you need to mark them, and you need to act differently. Don't let them influence you." He said that these men were destined for destruction. And he gives several examples of those that had in the past conducted themselves as these people were. And he says these unbelievers God delivered from bondage, but then they ceased to believe and God punished them. He also mentions rebellious angels that were cast down out of heaven because they didn't keep their place. They rebelled. They were bound with everlasting chains, he says. Sodom and Gomorrah were other examples of those who disobeyed the Lord, who fell into immorality, committed sexual immorality and perversion, and God, of course, destroyed them. These evil men are described as blemishes on your love feasts, eating with you with no qualms. They are shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. They are autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame. They are wandering stars, destined for eternal darkness. They are grumblers and fault finders who follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. They divide you. They follow natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. These are some men who were dividing the church and causing all kinds of problems in the church to which Jude was writing. It may be that there are some, a few, we hope, in the church of our Lord today who are grumblers, who are complainers, who are seeking to divide the body of Christ and causing unrest and division. We need to be aware when this sort of thing rears its head and deal with it immediately. Now, a lot of what Jude has to say about these men is, of course, negative. And I'm not opposed to some negative preaching on occasion when it's called for. But I like to be as positive as I can. And Jude concludes his epistle with some very positive exhortations. Jude has been called the epistle of exhortation. So that's the part of his letter that I want to examine with you this morning. Jude gives some advice beginning in verse 20. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. These are some very admirable exhortations, and I believe they are exhortations that you and I need to take heed to even today. First, he says, build yourselves up in the most holy faith. We must have faith in order to remain firm and strong in our commitment to the Lord. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, Hebrews 11, verse 6. And John explains in 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, that faith is that which enables us to overcome the world. But how do we build our faith? How do we increase our faith? Obviously, one source of faith is the Bible, the Word of God. We need to study it and to meditate upon it and to keep rereading it every day. That's the source of our faith. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. When we hear the Word of God and believe it, then our faith is made stronger. Hebrews chapter 5, the Hebrew writer mentions some folks in his day who were in very grave danger. He said, by this time you ought to be teachers, but you need someone to teach you again the very rudiments of the gospel, of the Word of God. We need to study the Word of God, and this will help increase our faith. I want to suggest something else, too, and that is that we need to find friends and associates who are strong in faith. Not seek out those that are weak to be companions of, but to try to befriend those whose faith is strong. That will help our faith increase and grow. Paul warned the Corinthians that they must be careful about the associations that they made. Evil companions corrupt good morals. It's much easier to be faithful when you're surrounded by people of faith. Secondly, I want to encourage you to attend every assembly of the church that you can. Get to be a part of the fellowship of God's people. Nothing can build your faith like your association with people who have faith. And that means attending worship together, to attend fellowship meetings that we have. Anytime there is something going on at the church building, you should feel free to be there, and I would hope that you would want to be there. That will help you grow in your most holy faith. Secondly, Jude says, pray in the Holy Spirit. It's interesting this morning that Cubby came up to me and asked about reading that passage from James chapter 5. That's one of the passages that I was going to make reference to this morning. There is nothing that can take the place of our prayer to God. It's something we need to be engaged in constantly. Prayer is the lifeline of the Christian. It is indispensable for a spiritual life. Paul admonished the Ephesians to pray always, constantly. Give yourselves to prayer. And he even asked them to pray for him. Although he was an apostle of the Lord, he felt the need of the prayers of faithful brethren. We need to take advantage of this avenue of prayer. We need to pray before every important decision that we have to make. Young people particularly need to be conscious of the need to pray in the Holy Spirit before making those decisions that they must all make. Thirdly, Jude says, keep yourselves in God's love. Now, of course, it's impossible for us to escape from the love of God. God loves even the most vile sinner, but he loves those particularly who love him in return and show their love for him. In Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39, Paul wrote this concerning the love of God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So God loves us no matter what we do or what we say, where we go, he loves us anyway. Just like a father and a mother love their sons and their daughters no matter what kind of trouble they may get into. At the same time, Jesus spoke to his disciples in John chapter 15, and this is what he said to them, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. The way we continue in our love for the Father and we continue to be loved by him is to keep his commandments, just as Jesus' disciples were told they should do. So we can ensure ourselves of the unfailing love of God by living as God wants us to live. Fourthly, Jude says, be merciful to those who doubt. Have you ever had any doubts? Some years ago, I preached a sermon from this pulpit on the subject of doubt. I don't know how much of that you remember, but I just want to remind you of a thing or two. If you never had any doubts, you probably haven't done much thinking. Everybody who thinks has some doubts occasionally. It's normal. It's what we do with those doubts that makes the difference. If we just ignore them and let them have their way in the way we think, then we're going to be in trouble. But the thing to do with an honest doubt is to do some study and some research. Ask some questions of people who seem to know the answers. And I want to assure you, there is a reasonable, logical answer for every doubt that you have. You just have to look for the solution to that problem. So be merciful to those who have doubts. You will find people who have some very serious doubts. They are not to be condemned and to be avoided, but they need your help and assistance. They need your encouragement to seek a solution to the problems that they encounter. So be merciful to those who have doubts. Fifthly, Jude says, snatch others from the fire and save them. That expression about saving them may sound a little strange because we know we can't save one another. What does Jude mean? He means that we can, by our efforts to teach and to encourage and to instruct other folks, help them find a way to avoid that hell of fire and being lost. We can be the instruments of God in helping bring about the salvation of others. And that's what he means, that God depends upon you and upon me to bring other people to a knowledge of the gospel and of the will of God, so that they can be saved and, as it were, be snatched from the fire. Then sixthly, Jude says, to others show mercy mixed with fear. To others show mercy. I'm afraid sometimes we don't show much mercy to those who disagree with us on religious teachings. Sometimes people have been known to be quite arrogant and resentful toward those that disagree with them. Whereas we should have compassion for them. I often say that if you disagree with me, you have a problem. Now, I say that humbly. But I think I can find a scriptural basis for everything I believe. If I can't, I'll tell you so. But I'm going to try to help you see things as I see them. And that's what you should do with everybody else. Don't just leave them in the dark, but try to help others and show them the mercy and compassion of caring and trying to help them. Jude says this effort must also be mixed with fear. If we're not careful, sometimes we can be misled ourselves. Paul warned the Corinthians, be careful if you think you're standing, you just might fall. The devil works on the strongest, just like he works on the weakest. So never let us be too cocksure of our position. We all can learn, and in humility, we must seek truth together. People that you and I know, sincere, God-fearing people, have not been taught the truth of the gospel, and we must find a way to communicate that precious message to them. And in doing this, we show them mercy. Think about sharing the gospel like one beggar who tells another beggar where to find food. I love to study the Bible with people, not try to teach them and poke it down their throats, but to study with them from the Word of God and let them reach their own conclusions when they read the simple message of the gospel. Other folks who disagree with us are not our enemies. They are not purposely contrary. They are in need of what you and I can do to help them. These are just some positive exhortations, I believe, that Jude gives us, and I wanted to share those exhortations with you this morning. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, if you've never been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, may we urge you this morning to take care of that most important step of obedience to the gospel. If you are out of duty, or if you feel you need the prayers of the church in your behalf, we invite you to come in response to the Lord's invitation this morning while we stand to sing the song.